What's that? The lottery, I heard. Yeah, yeah, lottery. Hoping they'll find service. I don't even. Okay, okay. Mean. Yeah, so the world looks at hope, and it's kind of this wishful thinking. Oh, I hope my grandparents will remember what I want for Christmas, or, you know, whatever. But the Bible defines hope very differently. You maybe have heard this one, but it's a confident assurance. Very different. A confident assurance is very different than wishful thinking. So we want to look at that just a little bit this morning. As I was reading earlier on this theme of hope and what that means, I have something a little bit more around this theme of hope in Advent. It says, this first week of Advent with looking at hope, this hope is a hope that's tangible through the arrival of Jesus. So why do we have hope? Well, we as believers, our hope isn't anchored in fleeting desires or wishful thinking. Instead, our hope is anchored in God's faithfulness. Did you know that Jesus fulfilled more than 300 prophecies with his first coming? Prophecies that were written centuries before he was even born. These fulfilled prophecies assured us that God faithfully keeps his promises. And his promises in Scripture remain that he will come again, and that we have a hope in a future that is assured. So this is our sure hope. As the prophecies of Jesus' coming were fulfilled the first time, so the prophecies and the promises of our future hope will also be fulfilled, even though we don't see it right now. In the book of Isaiah, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, it speaks clearly of Jesus as the light who shines in our darkness. And just like us, the people in Isaiah's time sometimes struggled. And maybe their struggles are different than our struggles. But we know that darkness, difficulty are in our lives and in our world too. We too need the light of hope that Isaiah writes about to break through. And Jesus is that light. No matter what we're facing this season, we know that we have a sure hope in Christ. He is the one who entered darkness and brought his glorious light. So I want to look at two stories this morning, a couple different passages. First one is Genesis 15, Abraham. Maybe you don't think of Abraham first off the bat when you think of hope. God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, he will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So even here, God starts to plant a sure hope in Abraham's life, even as he calls him out of another land, into another land, makes him wealthy. God gives him promises that he can hang on to. And then, as if you know Abraham's story, you know, lots of stuff happens after that. He has another son through his servant. A son is promised to Sarah, and then Sodom and Gomorrah happens. And these promises are a big gap from where, you know, when Abraham was first promised here in Genesis 15, he was a much younger man. Then later, when the promise comes to Sarah, she laughs, right? She says, oh, how can this be? This isn't even possible. I'm well beyond this as a possibility, right? And then you keep going. Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. More stuff with Abraham. And then later, finally later, right? Isaac is born. And then you have this crazy test of, does he really believe God's promise, you know, that he's supposed to sacrifice Isaac? So I wanted to read that story too and just see, there's a phrase in there that just shows his confident assurance or his confident hope in the Lord. There's a few phrases in there. So Genesis 22, if you want to follow there, we'll skip. I think we'll just start right at the beginning. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where's the sheep for this burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. And when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his own son, Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and Abraham picked up a knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your own son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by the thorn, by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. And to this day, people still use the name as a proverb. On the mountains of the Lord, it will be provided. Interesting. So we kind of blasted through. Now you're paying attention to Abraham's story of hope. What are some phrases that stuck out to you? How did Abraham show his confident assurance in the Lord? Yeah, his son asks and he says, oh, the Lord's going to provide that. Yep. Yep. Yeah, interesting, hey? Verse 5, when he's leaving the servant behind, we're going to go worship, and then we will come back. Here I am. Yeah, several times, right? When God first comes, and then when the angel comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, having a confident assurance and hope in God's promises Sometimes we see the, I should say I see all the problems, or I see the things that's not going to work, or this isn't happening, and this is the issue I have, and then I end up starting to focus on problems, obstacles, things that I don't see, right? And Abraham here, he has much bigger ones in front of him, and yet his focus isn't actually on, because obviously in his response, like, we will worship and we will come back. It shows that's not just something that pops out of your mouth unless your heart is in a certain spot, right? And so, yeah, I've just found that that definition of hope, that confident assurance that, you know what, the Lord is with you, the Lord is with me, the Lord will guide our steps. He knows our futures. And by the Holy Spirit's help, we can have some of that confidence assurance, where how we act and the things we say pop out of a heart that is rooted in a confident assurance of hope, of His promises. So I'd like to read Isaiah. You probably have heard this passage a few times. Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. And again, the Israelites are in a spot of exile, right? They're looking forward to God's redemption, and so they're in a dark place. And then these words of hope in a Messiah, hope of God's rescue, hope in God's provision and His care for them come through in Isaiah. So Isaiah 9, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." What a promise, right? The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Scripture says God doesn't change and His promises don't change. I think it was interesting how the scripture this morning, you know, even in this theme of hope, was Psalm 80. And the refrain in there, the reverse gets repeated throughout the psalm a bunch of times, is, "Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved." You know, and even in that prayer, confident hope, God, you are the one who can restore us. Lord, you are the one who knows everything that's happening. You know our future. You know obstacles. And you know our joys. And you know the things that you have planned for us. And so as the psalmist turns his face to the Lord to say, "Restore us, shine your face on us so that we may be saved," our hearts can be turned that way too. That my heart can be turned from looking at difficult things in my week, distracted with work, distracted with this or that, to a point of, Lord, whatever you have for me this week, my hope is in you. And Lord, whatever that looks like, we know that you are going to take care of us. So, moving our hearts from a hope that is just wishful thinking, like the world around us, to confident assurance of God's promises is what this Advent season promises us. That's what the Lord promises us through the Holy Spirit, that he gives us his confident assurance that he will take care of his promises and his people. He will take care of you and me. So, an awesome promise that I've really been blessed by. And so this morning, too, as we take communion, this theme of hope, you know, when you think of confident assurance, it runs through the Last Supper, it runs through our future promise, it runs through everything. So we'll read a couple of passages together. And hope in the future, and hope in, like in Luke, he says, I will drink it anew with you in the last day. So let's turn there. Luke chapter 22 is where the Last Supper is in Luke. I love that little promise in there. So Luke 22:14, and when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. So in there too, I love that it's not just remembrance of what Christ has done for us, but that looking forward, I'm going to drink it anew with you. And when the kingdom of God comes and this is all fulfilled. And then Revelation 19 is kind of like a few verses on like that final supper, marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing, looking forward. So those last, Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And then he added, these are the true words that come from God. Awesome promises, awesome assured hope that we get to look forward to. Anything else stand out for you in those stories of Abraham or Isaac, or how hope is a sure thing in our hearts? That's so good, yeah. That living hope, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how that living hope transforms their perspectives and their lives, right? It's not just a, like we talked at the very beginning, a wishful hope. Oh, but yeah, I love that. Thanks, Jake. Living hope. Anybody else have anything stood out to them or came to your brain as we were chatting and thinking about hope? And I must not have heard right, or
or I don't deserve it, or
right. Mm-hmm.
It's that reassurance that God made that promise.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just because he had the promise didn't mean it happened the next week, right? There was still a lot of tough stuff that happened in between, and that promise was fulfilled much later. And so, yeah, that's hard. I don't like waiting, right? So, yeah, thanks. That's right. Right. That's right. He's faithful even when it doesn't happen on my timeline. What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the writer of Hebrews, who talks about Abram and the promise, God swore by himself to keep himself in that promise. So it says he, there's no one greater who can swear by him, there's no one who's not just to make that promise steadfast in the promise.
Right. He swore by himself that he will keep the promise. Right. Hebrews. Okay, well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to invite you up to take communion, and then Darren Aronis will close us off with some songs. So let's pray. Father, thank you again just for these reminders of these different passages, and that you are our living hope, that you are the basis for us to have confident assurance, and that your promises never fail, that you are faithful. So we just thank you for your character and for who you are and how you are always faithful. Even in like Abraham's story and Isaiah and Jeremiah, where there's these dark days in between, and yet the dark days in between don't cancel out your faithfulness. And so we thank you for that. Thank you that you're faithful in each of our stories, each of our lives. Lord, that we can rest our hearts in your confidence of keeping your promises. So Lord, give us hearts that rest in you. Give us hearts that are full of your hope, your joy, and your peace. And Lord, as we move about in this world, in our workplaces, with our neighbors, with our family, with friends, people that know you, people that don't know you. Lord, may your hope, joy, love, and peace radiate from our lives. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be rooted in that, just like Abraham was when, you know, he had this response, we're going to worship and we're going to come back. Lord, may our hearts be rooted in who you are that well, so that the response of our lips is just confidence in you. And we thank you for the hope you give us and for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'll invite you up to take communion. And then after we've all grabbed communion, we'll just take together. And then Darren will come up and lead us in a song after that.
you stand with us? I want to talk about a living hope, so let's sing about it.
Could not climb in desperation.